Now you can ask your question.
How long does the paper need to be?
Pardon?
How long does the paper need to be?
Did you tell the answer already?
Yeah.
As a college student, I was a master at making pages as long as they needed to be and saying little or nothing to add those extra 2 pages or whatever. So I never give you a length of a paper. I'm interested in material. I can turn a 5-page paper into a 10-page paper with no problem and will say absolutely nothing that I haven't already said, but I can do it beautifully. Okay? So therefore, I assume you all can do it too, and that's not what I want to see. Okay, the mentor program. We have a group of alumni, and it's about 50 of them that I use off and on different times, who are willing to act as email mentors to the students and talk about what they do for a job and what it's really like out there, basically. And interestingly enough, they do it year after year. Then when I email them and say, are you willing to do it this semester? They always say yes. So they enjoy doing it, so they will get back to you. Some of them get caught up in a project and they're a little late getting back to you. But what this paper is it's got 2 parts. The first part is I want you to do some research about the career you would like to have in computing and write about that. So the first half is, or the first part, it's not half, the first part is looking up the career that you're interested in pursuing and doing some research about it. I would like you to have references in that as to the sources that you went to find that out. I could care less what style of references you use, okay? I don't even remember the names of them. So I just want a list of the sources you cite, okay? Then the second part is interviewing someone that's in the field. And I have sent you an email that has the name of somebody that you have been assigned to. And I sent it to them, so they have a copy as well. My suggestion is that you first get in touch with them and introduce yourself. And you can do that. You have to send me a copy of that because I have to know that you have actually made the contact. After that, you don't have to CC me on anything. You can just talk to them. So a lot of people will just get in touch with them, tell them a little bit about themselves, maybe put in a link to the web page that you did the first week, and that's a way of introducing yourself. And then they think up the questions they want to ask, and I'm not telling you what questions to ask. I want you to ask the questions that you want to know the answers to, okay? So you're going to send them some questions that you would like to know the answers to. One thing I did say is that you should ask them about soft skills because that's just kind of a topic that we read about at the beginning, that list of all the soft skills, and ask them what they think are important. But I included that in the email, I think, to you. So basically, you're going to ask them questions. They're going to get back to you. I'd like this by the end of November. So that means that you should really get started on the questions you want to ask and send them out by the first of the week if you can. And then you can go back and forth with them. So if you think of a question later or somehow what they reply makes you think of something else, you can get back to them. But the thing is that they're busy people, and if you wait until 3 days before the paper's due, they're not going to have time to do it, okay? So I get to them early so that they have time to respond and you have time to get back to them, and a conversation can go back and forth with email, okay? So if anybody has not been passing in homework, I do not assign them a mentor until I get some work from them, because if they're not seriously part of this class, then I don't want to bother these people. They're busy. if you did not get a mentor and you think you're actually on far behind, contact me. So, you know, it could be that I'm not getting your emails or something. So let me know if you didn't get one. But everybody here got one. Or at least I sent one to everybody here. Whether they got it is another question, but I did send you all an email. And I sent them out yesterday, so if you look at your email for yesterday, you should have one. Okay? And your mentor's email is in the two, because I send it to both you and them. Okay? So, that is a paper that you need to write. And any questions? All right. What we're going to do now is Visual Basic. So, you want to go to the laptop. You want to go to the desktop and pick software. And then pick Visual Studio 2017. And I will put out a link that you can do to download your own version, but you just can go to Microsoft Visual Bit. If you just type in Visual Studio 2017, there's the guy you were looking for. You could have passed it to. So, click on Visual Studio, okay, 2017. Okay. Pardon me?
Where on the desktop?
Okay, you're going to go to the folder that says software. If you didn't log in at K Building, then you're probably not going to have that folder. So if you didn't log in as a K Building login, go back out and come in. In general, for this course, I'd say you should always do a K Building. Kyle, sign up before you leave.
I just want to make sure I
put
on this area because
it's... Oh, no, go get the computer started. You can do it at the end of class.
What?
Just sign the attendance.
It takes a while for a computer to get started on.
That's right, it does. So go to the box called Software and then choose Visual Studio 2017. Choose Visual Studio 2017 and it comes up. Okay? Now, what you want to do is we're going to do something new. So, you're going to click on File, New Project. Okay? And over on the side here, it's probably on Visual C Sharp. Make sure you put it on the Visual Basic Windows Desktop. Okay, so click Visual Studio Windows Desktop. And then in the middle here, click Windows Form. Then down at the bottom, you're going to make up a name. And I'm calling mine First 12. Since you're the 12 o'clock class, or 12:30, and I'm going to browse to find where I want to put this, and I'm going to put it on the E drive. So I'm selecting that folder. I'm putting it on the E drive. If you have a flash drive, I suggest you put it in, and that you also save it on a flash drive. Yeah.
Wait, so Windows Universal or Desktop?
Say that again?
Which one for Visual C? Windows Desktop, Universal?
Windows Desktop, yes. Visual C and then Windows Desktop. So it's Visual Basic, then Windows Desktop, then Windows Form Application. give it a name, it repeats the name, and find the location, and make sure create directory for solutions checked. So that's what it should look like. Yeah.
Okay, can you go over the steps one more time because it's
been
a long time
for it to be. Yeah, just do file new. You're right. It's just taking forever. File new project. When everybody's using it, it gets really slow. If there's one person in the room using it, it's fine. Okay, so now what you want is Visual Basic Windows Desktop. Windows Form app. Put in a name. Pick where you want it. And check Create Directory for Solution. Is everybody there all right? Want to walk around, Lindsay, and see if you all got these two?
Oh, that's fine. It's just loading. Please forever. That's the thing. It's hard to tell, but usually nothing's wrong. It's just taking forever to load.
All right.
Yeah.
And then, as I said, I put it on my E drive so I can take it home. So what you're going to do is you create a folder when I give you an assignment, which I'll do next week. Then you zip up that folder and send it to me. Because what Visual Basic does is it puts in a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And so you have to zip up the folder and send it to me. Okay? JavaScript is much more what you see is what you get. And you can just send me the .html. On this one, you've got to zip up the directory, and so you want to create a separate directory for all the solutions. So you can then just zip up the directory and send it to me. So you want to have create directory for solution checked. Okay? Is everybody with me so far? Okay, then I'm going to click OK. And this is what comes up. Now, you probably do not have the toolbar. I have it because in the last class I brought it up. So over on the side, you have going down the side over here, on the left-hand side, there is a thing called Toolbox. And you're going to click on Toolbox. And when you click on Toolbox, you look at the little pin up at the top, and you flip the pin to point down, and that anchors it. Okay, so you click on Toolbox. When it comes up, the pin is lying on its side. You click on the pin and make it point down, as if it's a thumbtack that it's holding it in place. And that works. So yours should have these four portions. The toolbox, the Form 1 VB design, the Solution Explorer that has the name of your project in it, and Form 1. And the properties, which is properties about Form 1. And you should have those four things sitting there. Okay, if you don't, get Lindsay's attention. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to drag over a label. Oh, once you got this toolbox up, I forgot to tell you that too, because it was already done. It leaves things the way you leave them when you left, lots of times. So click on Common Controls on the toolbox, okay, so that you get the Common Controls up there. Okay, so now I'm going to grab a label and drag it over here. So I've dragged it over, and it now says label one. Over here, I've got the properties for label one. Okay, there are the properties for label one. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to change its name. Now, before I do that, you can click here that shows you the things categorized. Right below label one, there's a couple of places you can click. I like the second one in, which is alphabetically. So I like this one, the second one in, which is alphabetically. So it organizes the properties alphabetically. Okay. So I'm going to first change the name. So I scroll up near the top and it says name. Label one. I'm going to change that to LBL name. The suggestion of Visual Basic is that you always label category. So LBL with three characters. So LBL stands for label. And that tells me if I look down at all the things that I have, that this is a label. Now I'm going to put somebody's name in there, so I cut the name with a capital M. So I call this LBL name with a capital M. Okay, that's the name of that object that I dragged over to the form. Then I scroll down till I find the text property. And the text property is about what is in and showing on this object. So I am going to call that name, and I'm going to put a colon after it to indicate this is a label that tells me you're going to put in a name. So I put name with a colon after it. You can call it anything you want. It doesn't matter what you call it, and it doesn't matter what you put in the text. But notice now, it is saying name. So where it used to say label one, it now says name, yeah.
If we edit it in that text box, would it edit it in the properties?
Probably. Yeah.
It's not letting me type it in. No, it doesn't seem to want me to do that. I mean, I always change in the properties just because I always change in the properties. And sometimes people ask me, can you? And I think, you know, I never even tried it. And I've been doing basic for how many years? And I probably have never tried it.
All right.
Oh, no, now I actually got it. I messed it up. So you did get me to mess it up somehow.
You were still clicked on the properties when you typed.
Okay, I was still clicked down here, okay. Whatever. Yes, you can mess it up in a variety of ways, apparently.
So if you select it and then start typing, it just jumps you down to the text box.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. Yeah. All right. Okay, so name is now back to being name. So now I'm going to find the text box, and I'm dragging that up and putting it beside the name. And this text box is where I want somebody to enter their name. So I'm going to change the name of this field and call it TXT, which is the three letters that tell me it's a text box. TXT name. Okay, and I give them the same name because the label name is telling me about the text box name, so I made them both name. Okay, so now I have a text box called name. Okay. There'll be slight pause while you get caught up, but more importantly, while I change the battery on one of my recorders. Come on, you can do it. Okay. So now I'm going to bring in another text box, and I'm going to make that even bigger. So I'm stretching it out for a ways. And I'm going to call that one text message, because I'm going to put a message in there. Okay, so I'm calling that text box text message. And now I'm going to put a button on. So see the button? I'm going to drag that over and put a button on my form. And I'm going to call that button, I'm going to give it a name, BTN Click. BTN standing for button, and then click, because this is where I want people to click when they want to see my message. So I'm saying button click. And then I scroll down to the text and I change the text, which says button one now. I'm changing it to click. And when I do that, you will notice that the button gets changed to click. Okay? So the button now says click. So I've got a place where I'm going to have the user enter something. I've got a place where I'm going to put out a message. And it's all going to happen if I click on that button. Okay? So, now I double click on the button that's sitting on the form. And it creates this private sub. And there's a lot of stuff over at the side you can look at, but basically we're not going to touch any of that. The click here is the click event. And there are a lot of events, and that's the list of events up there. Click is the kind of default event. Click and this will happen. Click and that will happen. So that's the click event. So I called it button click. So that's the name. And then it's got underscore click for the click event. It did that. The only thing I did on the form was I named it button click on the form. Okay? But it made that whole line and it does all that for you. It's very helpful. So it made the line. Yeah, you seem to have run into a problem.
Yeah, mine looks different. Mine looks totally good. It's got curly braces.
You don't want that.
You're going to make that box bigger.
Huh?
Yeah, the same problem too.
That doesn't really work like Visual Basic. Okay, did you change the Visual Basic on the first one?
This one?
No, way back when.
I can.
You did? Okay, let's see your form. Let me see your form. Yeah, no, it's CS. You're in some version of C.
Yeah, same thing here. Like it says .cs instead of, that's what you have to
do. So you're in some version of C.
Yeah, I think C.
So way back at the beginning, I'm going to finish doing this and then I'll give you time to go back and redo it. But way back at the beginning when we were filling out the form, you were supposed to click on Visual Basic Desktop, and it was had defaulted apparently to C. And you didn't catch that.
So we'll go back and fix it, but since I'm this far in, I'm going to fix it up. I'm going to keep going and then tell you to take some time to go back and recreate what I did, okay? And we can do it a second time. So I've got the click event going here because you're going to have to go out and start over again. And as I said, I'll give you a minute, but I want to, for the people that are here, I want to get it going. So, in this private subroutine, I'm going to type text message, which is the name of that field I put on there for the message. And then it's property, which is dot text. So I want to change the text property of text message. And I want it to be equal to the word hello. How did I manage to get that? The word hello, and I'm putting an extra quote in there, and then a plus for concatenating, and then I'm saying text name.text. So I'm saying text message.text equals the literal hello concatenated with text name. And the text property of text name. So whatever is in text name. Okay? I can then, to run this, I can click on the green diamond for the start verb. So I'm clicking on that green diamond, and it comes up, and I'm going to put in Susan. And then when I click, it says, hello, Susan. So it put in that message box what I told it to put in, which was a combination of hello and text name dot text. Okay. So if you got it working and aren't having any problems, throw in a few other things like the city or something and say, hello, Susan from Fall River, or whatever you want. But for those of you who got lost on this, let me go back. So, by the way, see that brown square up there? When I want to quit, I can just click on that brown square. And it gets me out. So I'm going to do a file, save all, and I'm going to save this. File, save all lets me save it. Okay? So file, save all lets me save it. And I'm going to get out now. And so I'm going to do a file, close solution, and I'm out. Okay? So, let's start over again. For you who went with it, okay? Go into Visual Basic, and then what we need to do, is everybody okay in Visual Basic? Okay, because you're going to have to start from the beginning if you had that CS thing. So we're now doing File, New, Project. And this is where you went off. You either had C sharp or C++ click, and you needed that Visual Basic. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
So where do I get Visual Basic?
Right down the side. Okay, you're too far in. You got to get all the way out. Okay, file. Okay, so now let's go in. Visual Studio 2015, 17, whatever it is. Okay, so now you're going to do File, New, and then go over Project. And that's what I've got. And there is Visual Basic right there. And click on the arrow next to it so you can see the drop down things. Oh, the arrow right there. That's right. Okay.
okay? So what I need to have over here is Visual Basic, not Visual C, not Visual C++, none of the other things. I gotta have Visual Basic, okay? If you know C++, you can use that. But I'm not teaching it, so we have to use what I'm teaching. Okay, so Visual Basic, Windows Desktop. Over here, Windows Form App. Down below, you put a name in here. So I'm going to call this redo of first 12. And I'm going to still put it on the E drive. And I've got create directory for solution. So that's what it should look like. Okay, if it doesn't look like that, then get Lindsay or I and make it look like that. But that's what it should look like. Are you with it? Now you're all set now. Okay. Questions? Has everybody got that checked? Okay. So now I'm saying okay, and I'm going in, and I have these things. The output you don't need, so you can just close that if yours came up. If you don't have the toolbox, it's written on the side going down here. Click on it, and it comes up. Change the pin to point down so that you've got it in place. Okay? And then you can start taking things over that you want to have on the form. Okay? So I can bring over my label, and I'm going to change that to say LBL name. And then I go down to its text and make that say name. And I put a colon after it just for the sake of putting a colon after it. Then I'm dragging up a text box and I call that text name. Okay, so that's text name. Then I dragged over another text box, and I called this one text message. Okay. And then I dragged over a button, and I called that button click. And I went down and changed its text so that it would say click. And I can't seem to spell click to save my soul. Okay? So that's the form that I created. And now if I double click on click, it brings up the place for the code. And in the place for the code, I'm writing txt message dot text equals hello in quotes, and I put a space after the hello, concatenated with text name dot text. Okay? Just because otherwise the name would be squinched up against the O in hello. So I've got a literal there concatenated with a text field. How are we doing?
assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little bit behind.
Okay.
Yes.
There's far more seats, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay, but then drag over another text box and call that one text message.
Equals hello, hello, right. Double quotes. Then you put a plus sign to concatenate, and then you put the name of
TXT,
your
MSG.
Text box, that's the name of your.
Okay.
Okay.
And I got that a capital M, but
yeah, if you have one,
as long as you're consistent, it doesn't care. And then I bring over a button. And call that button click BTN click is what I call it.
Yeah.
And then change its text to say click.
Every time you stop typing, now I know.
And now double click on this.
It helps. It helps you out. It probably won't.
And put the code that I've got in there, right on there. Okay? But you didn't have a capital M on your text message. So when you type it, you're going to type it with a lowercase m. Okay? Because as we just saw, it knows the difference between an uppercase M and a lowercase m. You could even try to be a front row person someday.
Yeah.
Someday.
If he's getting glasses.
Yeah.
Okay. So is everybody okay now? Okay. What I want you to do now is we're going to go and download. Oh, actually, we're going to do color. And then we'll come back. Okay, so we're going to do color on this. So I'm going to go back. Notice I've got a Form 1 VB and a Form 1 design. So I can go back and forth between the code and the design. There's the design, there's the code, there's the design. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to change this message. So I'm going to look at the properties and I'm going to say, I want to change the font. So I found font, and I click on that, and I get three dots over at the side, and I click on them. And that lets me go in and change information about this. So I'm going to make it bold and 16. And then I'm saying okay. So now if I run this, and I put in John, and I click, I get hello John, and it's bold and big. Okay? So I've now got it to be bold and big. Lindsay? Okay. So then I'm going to change it a little bit more. And I'm going to go in and say four color, which is the color of the text. And I'm clicking on this down arrow and clicking on custom. And I'm going to make it red. Okay? So I'm making the color of the font, the four color. Four color is the font. Red. Four color. You got to be clicked on message. Clicked on the box that says text message. And then you can make the four color red. And then I'm going to scroll up a little bit and find the back color. And I'm going to make the back color by clicking on its arrow and clicking on custom. I'm going to make it yellow. So I now have a yellow background and red font. So if I run this now and say Susan again, it comes up and I click, it says hello Susan. And Susan is now red
on a yellow background. Lindsay, oh, when you get the chance. I didn't hear you go. Okay, so it now says, hello, Susan. Okay. So those are all properties that I'm changing. I'm changing the font property, I'm changing the background property, I'm changing the foreground property. That box has a load of properties. And if you scroll down, there's things like I could change the border style. I can do all kinds of changes that I want to do to it. Okay, now what I want you to do is go into my programs, site resources, pick programs, and I want you to download basicmass.zip. And we will look at that program, and you can download a few others if you want to. But you have to download basicmass.zip, and then you have to unzip it. Okay, so download basicmass.zip and unzip it. And you can download the two above it at some point and look at those as well. We'll look at First Math on Tuesday. So download that and store it, or unzip it, rather.
So Basic Math?
Yes, it says basicmath.zip right here. The third one down says basicmath.zip. And I want you to download and save that. Download it, save it, and unzip it, I should have said. I want you to unzip it. So it's basicmath.zip, and it needs to be unzipped because we're going to play with that one next. And if you have nothing better to do this weekend, download them all and unzip them because we're going to need them as we go through this. And we'll be in Visual Basic for the next week or two.
Separate.
And tonight or tomorrow I'll put up the address where you can go, but if you just type it in, you know, Visual Basic 2017 download, it will take you right to the place where you can download it.
They don't charge you for it?
No.
Oh, I thought I looked up Visual... I was still looking up Visual Studio. I was saying it costs like $5,000. That's crazy.
No, Visual Studio, I don't know what that is. I go in on Visual Basic. No, Visual Basic is... They have, I think it's a community edition.
The community edition, I believe, is free.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can download the community edition for free.
Open this with.
Which
one? What? It says open that basic math file.
You have to unzip it.
Is it not zipping opening it?
Depends on where you are.
Well, this is the first time I've done unzip.
Okay, so.
I'm doing everything wrong.
Just look at it, go to extract. Extract all.
Mm-hmm.
And then pick the area you want to extract it to.
That's how they made the calculator in Windows.
Yep. What?
That's how they made the calculator in Windows 95.
Why?
Couple boxes.
That's right. Okay, so now hopefully everybody's got basic math unzipped, or if not, they're working with... If you don't have it, let Lindsay know. So I'm going to do a file close solution. First I did a file save all, and then a file close solution. Okay, and it has closed up that solution. So now I'm going to do a file open project. Okay, file open project. Let me save that. Okay. And then I'm going to the E drive, which is where I stored mine. And it's called Basic Math. Okay. Isn't it called Basic Math? On the E drive. Come on.
Yeah, you don't want to project.
Oh, I know where it is. It's in a subdirectory. I forgot.
Yep.
That's not the one that I was looking at. Let me try this again. Okay, I was in the wrong drive. So, basic math. And when basic math comes up, it's the SLN that you want to open. And if yours isn't showing extensions, it has that little icon in front of it. Okay? So it's that little icon, the SLN version. And that's what you want to open. Okay, so go to basic math. You have to click on it a few times to get inside. And then click on basicmath.slm. And double click on that and it opens. And I have something left in there from last time that I thought I had deleted. So I'm going to fix it up for a second. Okay. I must have fixed it up in the wrong version. But anyway. So let's go and look at the form first. So I'm going to go and look at the form design after I do a save all. Okay, so I'm looking at the form design. So I have on here a couple of labels. And I have a couple of text boxes. And I have a form and all that good stuff. I have buttons. I have five different buttons. And all of that. So I've got two boxes where I can put in numbers, get an answer, and I have five buttons that I can click. Okay? So I am going to click on the first button, which is add. Okay? And it brings up all of these different buttons. But it has the cursor in the add because that's what I clicked on. If I clicked on subtract, the cursor would be in the subtract. But I still see all of them. Okay? So look at multiply. That's the easiest one. I called it button multiply, BTN mult. Underscore click is the click event associated with button mult. And inside there, I'm simply saying, take text first,
take the text that's in text first, multiply it by the text that's in text second, and make the answer be the text that goes into text answer. So it goes and it does the calculation and puts the answer in text answer. And if you look at divide, divide is just the same, except that I changed the multiply to a slash so that it would do a divide. So if I run this, come on, you can do it. Eventually we can do it. So when I run this, if I put in a 7 and a 5, and I say multiply, it comes up with 35, which is what it should do. Now let's try adding it. When I add it, it comes up with 75. Okay? Is 7 plus 5 75?
I put 12.
I got 12.
Okay. Then make sure that...
We have it, well, ours has it saved already with the C integer.
Okay, I don't know why it should.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. See that little quote sign? See the little quote mark, the single quote there? Mm-hmm. That's for a comment. So I've got three ways of doing this. And I've commented out the last two and left the third one open. If that's not what you have, then make it what you have. If you take the quote away, it becomes a command. If you put the quote in, it becomes a comment. Okay? So I've got the top line is what I'm going to execute. These other two alternatives are just comments right now. So if I run that, it should have given you a 75. That's what it gave me. Okay, what one is not got the quote in front of it?
Yeah, the bottom one is the one that's executed.
Either could be either one,
yeah.
It's the bottom one. So put a quote in front of that, a quote. Yeah, that should work. Okay, so you want to take the quote out in front of that. No, not the one up above. Right. Now it's a command. And put the quote in there to turn it into a comment. Okay? So now try running it.
And put one in front of the last one.
You have the same thing?
Yeah.
You fixed it?
Okay.
So, this one is going to do a calculation. And instead of adding, it's concatenating. What does that remind you of? JavaScript. That was doing the same thing in JavaScript. So in JavaScript, we fixed it with a parse float or something like that. I've got two alternatives to fix it in. You can either put val, or you can put cint, which means convert to an integer. Or for that matter, you can have cdec, which means convert to a decimal. Okay? So I put those in just like I would have put parse float in JavaScript, and then they work. Okay? So if I now take the comment and put it on the first line, the way a lot of you had it, I can't do it while code is running. So click the little box and it stops running. And then I can put the quote in there, and I'm going to take the quote out of the bottom one. And so now when I run it, hello? Well, it gives you plenty of time to think about what might come up. Come on, come on, come on.
Okay, so now when I put in the 7 and the 5 and do and add, I'm getting 12. Okay? Because the C integer convinced the Brown Visual Basic that it should be doing a add as opposed to a concatenate. Okay. So now on the subtract, let me close all this stuff up that's not doing me any good. Okay. On the subtract, I have an if statement. I'm saying if textFirst.text is greater than 10, then put the message too big in textAnswer.text. Otherwise, do the subtract. Okay? And I did this for no good reason other than I wanted to put an if statement in there. And I just picked testing greater than 10. Okay? So I'm basically saying, is textFirst greater than 10. If it is, put out the message that says too big. If the answer is no, do the calculation. Okay? So if the answer is no, do the calculation. So I'm saying here, and this is very different than the way it was written in JavaScript. I don't have any curly braces. If it's true, I do everything before the else. If it's not true, I do everything between the else and the end if. The condition is not in parentheses. However, it requires a then. And very nicely, it has figured out that if people are going to forget the then, so if you forget it, it puts it in for you. Which is very good, because in previous versions it didn't, and I can't tell you how many times I had to go back and put a then. And then else I do a different calculation. So I've got, if it's true, do this, else do that. Okay? And that's the structure of how an if statement works. Questions. Okay, so now let's try if it's greater than 10, too big. If not, I'm going to test and see. Come on. If textFirst is less than 3. And if it's less than 3, I'm going to put out a message that says too small. And if it's not less than 3, I'm going to do the calculation. Okay, so now basically I want, if it's 0, 1, or 2, I don't want it. And if it's greater than 10, I don't want it. So I want things between 3 and 10. Okay? So go back and try fixing this and see if you can fix this so that it follows that flowchart. So take my if statement and we'll try to fix it. Pardon me?
I don't have that one anymore.
You don't have that one?
No. Why aren't you getting it?
They'll just have to add it in.
Wasn't it there for the last class?
Maybe they didn't even mention it. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Because I didn't open it myself. I was just walking around.
So, if you don't have the if statement, type it in. Move up to a front seat if you need to. But, that's true. If you take a picture of it, then you're all set. I don't know why that wasn't showing up. Either the last class didn't tell me or it was in the version that they downloaded, which seems really strange.
Because it would have been the same download.
Yes. And none of you had this when you downloaded it.
Maybe they just all typed it in. Oh, they're completely lost, right. There's the other option. What is she talking about?
Has she gone crazy? I don't see any of this.
So put it in and test it, by the way, with just that in if you want to, before you add the other part. The other thing I should have mentioned is button close. Does a me.close, me refers to the current form, whatever the current form is. So it says close me. And close with two parentheses after it is a function, because there's a lot of code involved in closing something down.
I'm surprised no one mentioned it last time.
I am too. That's really very strange.
You were just lost and didn't want to mention it.
Yeah, but there was a lot more people in there than there is here, and you'd think one of them would have said, oops. Yeah, in this class, if you count you and I, there's four women and four men, which is not the usual number that I see in these classes. I'm not sure we should count, but...
It's a small class.
No, why more women don't go into computing is beyond me, because it's a fabulous job.
You get a different perspective, too, I feel, you know?
Okay, so test it and make sure it's running if you get it working.
Oh, no. Kind of takes all the fun out of it.
To test it?
No. Oh, no, my thing is all right. It's programming everything in the background for you.
Oh, yeah, no. And it does the indenting for you and it does everything for you. It's very user-friendly.
This is why you should just go with Notepad. Mm-hmm. You don't need all that user-friendliness.
This is true. If you like to tear your hair out on a regular basis.
You don't even spill my bed in the hair.
What?
It's similar to pseudocode, like with the end and things like that.
Right. Then what am I doing? Text answer dot text equals too small. This should be an else, not an end if. And then, notice I'm missing an end if because I haven't put it in yet. And notice what it does. It lets me know by underlining this if that there's something wrong with that if. Okay. And we'll look at errors on this next time. But for now, we're just going with this.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
What if, pretend everything you wrote in is red, underlined red.
That probably means you did something wrong.
Yeah, because I had
everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. So that means you did maybe more than one thing wrong.
Did you guys put dot text after your TXT first and stuff like that?
Yeah. But I didn't have a problem with it running.
I think that is working, and then I'll come around and look at yours.
Yeah, missing an end if. You have two if here, so that one joins to that. You need another end if. Like, choose your thing, and it highlights it, because
right.
correlates to
that. So yeah, I have this if goes with that and if and that else. And then this if goes with that and if and that else.
Instead of text for each of those, it has to be text.
Oh.
Yep, it's got to be dot text.
Okay, so if I try running this, put in here a 2 and a 1, it comes back and tells me too small, so that's working. And if I change that to a 5, it comes back and tells me 4, so that's working. Okay. So that basically is how you would do a nested if, because you're nesting one if inside the other. Then you can go back and change these, put some color in, and, you know, make them more attractive by doing that. Go in and put color in things if you want to. So go ahead and go in and change the multiply and try putting some kind of an if statement in that and try putting some color in some things and just play around with this for a few minutes. Because we're done with the new stuff for now. So go in and just play around, try putting some color in, try changing the size of the font. Maybe make a multiply, an if statement in the multiply, but just kind of play around with it a little bit. Yeah.
So would you say this is a streamlined version of using Notepad?
I think it's a little more than that.
Way more than just streamlined?
Just streamlined and using Notepad.
Is this somehow, is this less complicated?